Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
One of the hottest new healthcare trends is looking at women's scalps and saying, you know something? It's not just men who are losing their hair, especially after the age of 40. It's women. It could happen at any age, but most definitely during the perimenopause and the menopausal years. And I'll tell you one thing. It's all about hair for a woman, isn't it, Michelle? I mean, seriously?
Half of our looks are based on our hair.
50%. I would say 80%, actually. We could hide under our hair. You know how that goes. Oh, my gosh. And so what do you do for this hair loss thing? I think women have been blown off for the longest period of time about this whole issue because it's always been about guys. So it's time to really talk about this, and to help us is a fantastic expert in this field, the chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine, UCLA, Dr. Theodore Friedman, who is also professor of medicine at UCLA, and also an endocrinologist, chief of the Division of Endocrinology, Metabolism, Molecular Medicine. And what we really want to know here, Dr. Friedman, is there hope? I can't tell you how many women are freaking out about this. They're looking up there and they're just thinning out just like a guy would. What's going on?
Well, first of all, Pam and Michelle, both of you have beautiful hair, so there's nothing to worry about for you guys.
Oh, bless you.
I'll have a conversation with my hairdresser about that.
Okay. Good.
I'll pass it
on. It's a big concern. Women don't want to have hair loss. No. So the thing that me as an endocrinologist looks for, is this due to a hormonal problem that can be corrected? Is this a sign of something else going on, or is this something that really we can't do anything about?
Right.
Well, why is this happening during the perimenopause and menopause?
Okay. So there's several hormonal and endocrinological related factors that could be causing this. So the first one is thyroid problems. Both an underactive and an overactive thyroid can give you hair loss. So it's crucial for somebody that's having hair loss, especially if it's coming all of a sudden, to get their thyroid checked.
Right. And then what about, then you have these other factors, right, that can estrogen be a part of this,
exactly.
Testosterone be a part
right.
of this? Tell us a little bit more about some of those, too. Like, I know testosterone, if you have too much of it, you can lose your hair.
Mm-hmm. So
and
before we get into that, the second most common cause of hair loss, but it's very important for women, is mild anemia. So
anemia.
Women have their menses every month. They lose a lot of blood. Over the years, the iron stores decrease, and iron is needed to get your hair to grow well. The regular test that most doctors do, a blood count called a CBC, often doesn't pick up the mild hair loss, the mild anemia, which can give you the hair loss.
So I've never heard that.
So I recommend a test called a ferritin level, which
okay.
measures iron stores.
Okay.
Most women that have had menses all these years have low ferritin levels. And it's pretty easy to replace. You give someone iron pills. You watch their ferritin level. It should be around 70 for optimal effect. So if their ferritin's about 10, they'll need a lot of iron. If their ferritin's about 30 or 40, they'll need just a little bit of iron. And this does a remarkable job in general of making people feel better, as well as helping their hair.
Fantastic. Well, let's move on to estrogen and testosterone and hormonal treatments.
Absolutely.
How do they impact on hair loss?
Right. So testosterone in general is bad for women's hair. High testosterone makes them like a male, and they will start losing hair, especially on their sort of temporal regions. If it gets really high, they can go bald. So I measure a testosterone level, and I actually measure what's called the bioavailable testosterone, which is the active form of testosterone. And if it's low, there's various medicines I can use to try to lower it, and that will often improve the woman's hair. Estrogen, on the other hand, is good for hair. That's why women that are pregnant often have great hair. Because the high estrogen levels help it grow. Somebody that's having low estrogen, they might benefit from estrogen supplementation to get both their estrogen levels up. That will help them with their menopausal symptoms and hot flashes, things like that, but will also often help their hair.
Well, there's something else, too, that I've seen a lot of because I work in metabolism and definitely looking at weight, and that is women who are starving themselves, just going out there, barely eating enough protein. And we call them chronic restrictors. They don't eat enough. They need protein, and what they end up with is brittle hair that's beginning to thin, because for all intents and purposes, they're walking around in semi-starvation, but they think it's cool, or they live in Manhattan anyway. And it's hard sometimes to kind of grab them and get them, you know, going again, because they're really into this terrible mindset. So we usually get them into some pretty intense dietary therapy and usually some counseling and psychotherapy as well. But I see a lot of that. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, you are what you eat. Your hair is what you eat also. So you're not eating enough food. You're starving yourself. Your hair is going to suffer. I recommend, you know, a primarily vegetable-based diet with a lot of vegetables, but people need a good amount of protein also, and I think some people just restrict their protein too much, and it's not good for their hair.
Well, I think that women under-eat protein big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
They usually say, well, I have my protein at dinner. Really? What about the other 18 mm-hmm. hours of the day? Come on.
Right.
I like to spread it out as best I can, mm-hmm. some lean. What about hormone treatments? You know, women who are on HRT, how does that impact on hair loss?
Okay, so in general, as I said before, estrogen is usually pretty good for hair. Mm-hmm. So women that are on hormone replacement therapy, if it's an estrogen, it's probably helpful. In general, people are moving towards patches and creams of estrogen replacement and not pills. And I think it's the same way. I think those do give you better results with your hair as well.
Well, what if it's hypothyroidism? Could you just tell us what the typical treatment is? What kind of thyroid supplement do you use?
Okay, so for hypothyroidism, most patients I give thyroid hormone called T4. Levothyroxine is a generic form. There's brands like Synthroid and Unithroid. Many people do fine on that, but there's a percentage of people that don't do well on that. These are people that don't convert their T4 to T3. There's lots of nice studies out recently that about 15% of the population doesn't do conversion from T4 to T3. The people that do this conversion, they're fine on their T4. The local doctor can follow them. They're doing great. They're not complaining. The people that are poor converters, they're the ones that are contacting Empower, reading on their websites, and trying to go for second opinions on that. They often benefit from a T4, T3 combination. One way
right.
to give the T4, T3 combination is with the levothyroxine plus something like Cytomel. But probably a better way to do it is with a medicine called Armour Thyroid. Armour Thyroid comes from pig thyroid. It was quite popular when thyroid hormone started, but went out of favor, and it's now coming back in because people realize that the synthetic pills don't have some of the important things that comes from the actual thyroid itself. So a lot of patients I put on Armour Thyroid, other ones I use T4, and some of them I use a T4, T3 combination. And getting the right combination can really do wonders both for the patient's energy levels and metabolism issues, but also help their hair.
And, you know, one other question. I was treating a woman, and she was saying, "What can I use what my husband's using for hair loss?" And he was on some minoxidil or one of these combinations. Do you favor anything like that as well?
I think that's okay. I think it's better to get to the underlying problem. If it's hormonal or anemia, try to fix that first before covering up with some minoxidil. But if all those things are optimized, the minoxidil, I would say, only works in women, you know, maybe about 10 or 20% of them. But if it does work, it's be good to try.
What about genetics?
Exactly.
About, you know,
I was
just look
say,
at genetics.
Genetics. Genetics.
Right.
Genetics.
So, you know, we started this program off sort of optimistically. Many patients will get better when we optimize the hormones, but a percentage of them won't. And that's
right.
because they have bad genetics. The genetics usually follows the father's side
the father.
Of the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got a bald father and a bald grandfather. You have bad genetics.
Oh, boy. No, you have challenging genetics. And we have other ways of getting around that. We'll have another show about that at some point, I'm sure. It's called How to Cover It All Up Somehow. Dr. Friedman, we are so happy that you came to share your wit and wisdom. And you can learn more about Dr. Friedman's work on goodhormonehealth.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Theo. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King Robeson with Dr. Pam Peake. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD. Stay well.